Hello everyone, I'm Roy Mator, an author and podcaster, and you're listening to Captain Roy's Rusty Rocket Radio Show, the UK geek science fiction, fantasy, and tonight, horror podcast. This is episode 534, taped on Monday the 15th of April, 2024 at 00:36:52. Very early in the morning. I had planned on doing this slightly before midnight, but it was a bit of a rush finishing off the show notes. I watched this one, this Hammer House of Horror revisit. Sorry, I should have said that. That's what we're doing today. Earlier today, and did the show notes on the same day. If I hadn't had the experience of being a journalist, a columnist before, I would never have managed to crank that out in a day. Oh, I barely did, didn't I? Yeah, there seemed to be quite a lot to talk about. The Hammer House of Horror episode that we're talking about tonight is Children of the Full Moon. I'm pretty certain that the title gives away what this is going to be about. Pre-show, I am tired again. It has been a busy week. I'll tell you all about the reasons I'm so tired and also what I've been doing and watching and enjoying in the next podcast episode, which hopefully, though no guarantees, will be taped on the 16th. I've had to move everything forward a day, but it doesn't really matter to my planned schedule. That seems to be going okay. But we're not talking about anything else except Hammer. So tonight, it is again Hammer time. I can't believe that I haven't used that joke before. Or have I? Have I used that joke before? Or rather not but... Okay, production. Notable cast. Tom is played by Christopher Cazenove. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that. I've done my best. Amongst other things, he is known for Three Men and a Little Lady and A Knight's Tale. Three Men and a Little Lady. I think he was the English bloke, the suave English bloke, amongst the other two more famous actors, Tom Selleck and Ted Danson. He had a minor role in A Knight's Tale, which is partially responsible for me becoming, for a very short while, one of the few, probably the only, maybe, brown medieval reenactors. Tom, the lawyer, has a wife. His wife's name is Sarah, played by Celia Gregory. Sarah, I said Sarah, brilliant. I did not say Sarah, I didn't make it sound weird, posh and Victorian. Ah, I'm getting better. Celia Gregory is known for quite a bit of television acting, as far as I can see on IMDb. Right after this, Children of the Full Moon, her next acting credit was in The Professionals, very iconic British action TV series. Quite a lot later, she also had a part in the Ruth Rendell mysteries. Mrs. Ardoy, the woman in the woods, is played by Diana Dawes, the UK's answer to Marilyn Monroe. She had a incredibly prolific career between 1947 and 1985, including, and I pick these two acting credits for their amusing titles, The Unholy Wife and The Amorous Milkman, neither of which I think I've seen. Maybe I should. They sound quite funny. And perhaps a little risque. And now I've just noticed the gap in my show notes, so I'm going to have to hit pause for a second while I fill in those gaps. Again, if you're wondering why the start time of these episodes and end times of these episodes do not seem to match the length of the podcast, that is one of the reasons for that. That and editing. Okay, sorry, back in a sec. And I'm back after a few minutes of extra research. Sorry about that. Okay, we talked about Dying the Doors. Let's move on to the director. The director was Tom Clegg. His previous directing credits included the very famous movie starring Roger Daltrey, McVicar, about the titular bank robber and prison hard case, and, closer to my heart, Rosemary in Time, a British cosy mystery series that I've talked about many times. Moving on to the writer, this was a chap called Murray Smith. His other writing credits included, and I have never heard of this before, but it sounds wonderful, the incredibly titled Die Screaming Marianne. Oh man, that is such a good title for a film. He is also known for writing for the two Don Henderson vehicles, Strangers and Bullman. The former being a cop drama and the latter being a private eye drama, as far as I can remember. Both starring Don Henderson. The producer, as always, Roy Skeggs, ex-Hammer Films, formed spin-off Cinema Arts, returned to Hammer, moved production to Buckinghamshire, and created Hammer House of Horror. Locations various in and around Buckinghamshire in 1980. Our couple breakdown at Bryant's Bottom Road, Great Hampton in Buckinghamshire. The country house is Hampton House, Buckinghamshire. Our couple have a posh Muse House in Kensington at Napier Place. And there is a Trans World Airlines terminal building thing in Russell Road that Tom exits at the beginning. Again in Kensington. Production was by Hammer Films, Cinema Arts and ITC Entertainment. And it was distributed, broadcast on ITV. The memorable and dramatic theme music, da, 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 you didn't ask for that, was composed by ex-jazz pianist Roger Webb. Broadcast, this was episode 8 of 13, quite near the end now, first broadcast on the 1st of November 1980. It is around, like all the others, 54-ish minutes long. I'm guessing around an hour long if you include ads. And follows the silent scream that I talked about in 528. And if you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to that one. You like it. It is a nasty one. And it has a young Brian Cox starring in it as well. Media releases. Sorry if you've heard this before, but the gaps between each episode of my revisits are getting longer, and I'm guessing this information might be of use if you've just jumped in here. Okay. It came out on the Hammer House of Horror, the complete collection DVD in 2002. Hammer House of Horror, the complete series, Blu-ray in 2017, which is probably worth buying if you want the series for yourself, if you want the physical media, because it was filmed on 35mm film, and I'm guessing Blu-ray will do it far more justice than my DVD copy. Although I've got that DVD, I am watching it currently on ITVX in the UK, where it has been available since 2023. And if you can't get to that, well, you could. You can get to VPN and then you can get to that. But if you insist on paying for it, you can get it on Apple TV as well. And I suppose on Apple TV, you won't get the ads that you do on ITVX. Zeitgeist. On that day, the 1st, was it the 1st or the 11th? Oh God, I've already forgotten. What am I doing? Sorry. It's all going wrong. Okay, found my place again. Oh, that was terrible. Yeah. On the 1st of November, 1980, what was going on? Well, the Russians blew the crap out of something, and so help me God, Barbara Streisand's suicidally depressing song, Woman in Love, is still number one in the UK. Not unusual for the 80s, but the Russians are blowing something up. And yeah, I say still number one in the UK because it was number one when we did the last revisit, The Silent Scream. Okay, at this point, you may hear a clip. I think you'll hear a clip. And then I'll tell you what happens. This is probably then a convenient time for me to take a short break. So see you in a moment and enjoy the clip. Rolling clip in 3, 2, 1.
Half human.
Half human, dear? Oh, surely not.
You're pregnant?
He's going to be a fine, fine fellow, just like his dad.
Oh my God, rattled from another interruption. You probably don't know what just happened, but there was some more noise, and I had to take another unplanned break. Yeah, very unplanned. That's always how it is. Noise, inside, outside, there's always something. Even when you're recording at the quietest time of the day. I had to repeat quietest time of the day because I held up a tissue in my hand and rustled it into the mic. Where were we? Oh yeah, I just wanted to mention, it'll just take a second, but it's so useful that I run Windows Mobility Center on my desktop PC. It's particularly useful for podcasting because I can quickly flip from balanced performance to high performance so that my computer doesn't go to sleep in the middle of a podcast and I lose my show notes. And I can also mute the system so no sounds from the computer goes into the mixer and then to my recorder. Yeah. You can do that. You can run Windows Mobility Center on your desktop. If you're a podcaster, look that up. Okay, back to the podcast and to the story. Let me run you through the story now. We open on a cute little blonde girl who savages a dead lamb. And we see blood smeared across her face. We then cut to a jet-set lawyer, Tom, who is being picked up by his wife, Sarah, at the airport. Also, I thought it was the airport, but it's an airport building. We'll get into that later. After a successful business trip, we then cut to their journey into the Somerset countryside to stay at a friend's holiday cottage. as they are going there in the car suddenly goes out of control and accelerates, and the brakes don't work, and luckily they manage to stop, but they are broken down. That car is not going anywhere. They start walking, and then they see a gate just off the main road, and decide to take the path beyond the gate to seek help, rather than continuing on this long road. They follow the overgrown path to a house in the woods, where they are warmly greeted by a woman, and they also meet her 8 children, which is a bit unusual, and Sarah rudely points that out. The woman says that they are a mixture of fostered and adopted children. She also explains that she and Mr. Adoy, a man who we won't see for quite a while, have Hungarian roots and follow traditions different to the English. Tom asks to use the phone, and he does, but has no luck. And so he tries to seek help on foot, walking through the woods, planning to go to the nearest town via the road. But before he can even get to the road, he's chased back to the house by a werewolf that the woman in the house gaslights him into thinking was a stag. Well, there is a big difference between a stag and a wolf, or a werewolf. The woman puts them up in the bedroom, but warns them not to wander around the house, as they might frighten her children. That night they hear howling in the distance, and Sarah later sees a werewolf at the window, which is quite a shock. They find themselves locked inside the room, and so Tom climbs through the window and down the drainpipe, but as he's doing that, he falls as he hears Sarah attacked by a werewolf in the room that he's just left. We see the woman and the children looking on as Sarah is attacked as well, which is a little suspicious to say the least. Tom later awakens in hospital, and Sarah tells him that he was concussed, and so Tom assumes he had this wild and vivid nightmarish dream of the previous events. Sarah has changed. She now loves sex and meat. More meat the better, and the rarer the better, until we reach a point where she's eating raw meat. And shortly thereafter says to Tom that she is pregnant. Later, she suddenly leaves home and returns to the house in the woods. The children there greet her, and she is taken to a bed with a small wreath of flowers placed against the headboard. Scared, she prepares to give birth. Tom realizes that the events preceding the concussion were probably real and not a dream, and follows Sarah, but is lost in the woods, and later helped by a woodcutter who just turns up. This burly, bearded woodcutter with an axe on his shoulder. He guides Tom deeper into the woods, where he transforms into a werewolf and kills Tom with an axe. He is the mysterious Mr. Adoy. Back at the house, Sarah dies during the childbirth. The woman says of the baby, he is going to be a fine, fine fellow, just like his dad. One of the children, an older dark-haired girl, covers Sarah with a bedsheet, and takes the wreath. Outside, Mr. Adoy howls, and the girl places the wreath against a framed photograph of Sarah. And that is it. That is my brief treatment of the plot of Children of the Full Moon. On to my thoughts. In the opening scene, that blood smeared right across the little girl's mouth looks incredibly fake. It is the colour of raspberry jam. It doesn't look real at all. It's not a great start. I mean, the idea of her ripping out the throat of a lamb, yeah, very effective. But then when she turns to the camera and we see that colour across her mouth, it just doesn't look real. It looks a bit sticky too. It didn't make me think of jam. And now I'm thinking of a jam sandwich. Okay. Sorry. And carry on. Car trouble, again. Hammer House of Horror really loves to overuse that device, car trouble. There's always something wrong with a car somewhere in one of these episodes. Not all of them, but so far, there was the 13th reunion, where that guy runs off the road and crashes and dies. There's Growing Pains, wasn't there something with a Capri? There's Charlie Boy, with the road rage incident and later a fatal crash. I remember Back to the 80s, and cars could be bad. Ours certainly was bad, our Mini Metro. But Tom was driving a BMW, a nice big Beamer. I don't know if it was a 3 Series or a 5 Series or something like that. I think it was a 5, I don't know, it's not important. But his car looked pretty good, pretty new, shouldn't really have failed in that way. I looked on ahead to the other episodes of the rewatch, and I think there will be more car trouble. There's a scene in which Tom returns from Harrods with some baby things that he bought for Sarah, including this very large fluffy teddy bear poking out of the bag. I remember those iconic green bags with gold lettering spelling out Harrods quite well. Our trips to Harrods meant that we'd carry back stuff inside, probably a bit of venison and garlic sausage from Harrods Food Hall. It just brought back some memories. We haven't done that for a very, 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 very long time. I think I need to visit Harrods again, maybe on my next trip into London. Trying to convince a person that a werewolf is a stag is the worst gaslighting attempt I've ever heard, and I've heard some good ones, but this one is absurd. I don't know why Tom accepts that story. I suppose he accepts it to comfort Sarah, who's worried, maybe, but it does look like he's half convincing himself as well. And then later on, when he wakes up from the concussion, he does convince himself that it was all a dream. Considering that the woman in the woods fed them well, gave them wine, and let them use a phone, and put them up in a nice comfortable room for the night, I thought it was a little mean that Sarah refers to her as an old bag. Though maybe Sarah had some uncanny instinct, some intuition that the woman was up to no good, Diana Dawes certainly plays the character sly, with her seductively friendly, though darting and shifty eyes. On the other hand, we should also consider the tone, which, on the whole, seems to be a little scornful of the terribly middle-class couple. And that, again, seems to be a running theme throughout many of these episodes. There's certainly a bit of the English class system commented upon. Maybe not always directly, but it's there. There is a mistake. There is a goof in the script where Mr. Adoy describes the behaviour of wolf packs as vulpine. That is a word that relates to the behaviour of foxes, not wolves. That's a very obvious gaffe that I noticed, jumped out at me. I guess that they rushed these episodes out in a year, so the script writing and the editing was occasionally subpar. Let me know if you know any different. On to the creature design. The creature design for the werewolf is the typical bipedal lycanthrope, like that of Lon Chaney Jr.'s werewolf in The Wolfman from 1941. For a rapist slash axe murderer, the werewolf had cute teddy bear-like facial features, somewhat inappropriate. I suppose they were going for the scariest that they could do, but I think they could have done better. His snout was a little too short. It should have been longer. That would have made him look fiercer. I suppose they were working with the actor's physical face, which seemed a bit bulky and not chubby, but not pronounced. I mean, I've got a more pointy, outy face. I would have made a more terrifying werewolf. That guy had a slightly pushed-in, not pushed-in face, but rounder face. I really think the prosthetics should have been better designed. They weren't bad, they were pretty good, but they weren't scary. In conclusion, this is a simple story with Little Red Riding Hood fairy tale-like elements. We have straying from the path, a house in the woods, wolves, and a woodcutter. And perhaps a touch of Hansel and Gretel too, with the weirdly friendly and generous woman in the woods. Trivia. Okay. I was telling you about locations at the beginning, how Tom exits that TWA building. That had me foxed. I don't remember anything of the sort, and I know my London airports. I know Heathrow and I know Gatwick. I can't remember anything that looked like that. What I thought was that they'd taken some part of the airport that wasn't to do with passengers and then just pretended that this was something else, some kind of building. But what would be the point of that? And in fact, there is no point of that, because according to the website RBK Local Studies, the building was the West London Air Terminal. West London Air Terminal. What the hell is that? Well, I looked it up on Wikipedia. I did try and go for primary references, but the reference link in Wikipedia was broken, so you'll just have to hear me give you the quote directly from Wikipedia for what it's worth. The West London Air Terminal was a check-in facility for British European Airways flights from Heathrow Airport. It was located on Cromwell Road in Kensington, London, and was in operation from 6 October 1957 to 1 January 1974. After passengers checked in their baggage and received their boarding passes, they would travel to Heathrow Airport by coach. One of the drawbacks of using the terminal for checking in was that the road traffic could delay the coaches and ultimately delay the departure of the flight. It says there, facility for British European Airways flights from Heathrow Airport. As if that's a carrier, I can't remember that particular company, and of course Tom was coming out of a TWA building. They didn't just put up a sign just for the sake of filming this, TWA, it was a big, heavy sign across a building. Yeah, West London Air Terminal definitely was a thing. Back in the old days. It was running down by the time we started to take holidays by plane, and we didn't live in central London. So I think it's not that surprising that I don't know about this, but it is odd. This whole thing just went away after 17 years. Weird. There's still bits about London that I don't know. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and ask Mum about this. See if she remembers anything about it. Okay, everyone, that is it. That is it for my revisit of Hammer House of Horrors, Children of the Full Moon from 1980. As I said in episode 533, when I told you about my planned podcasting schedule, that is still the plan, and I do seem to be sticking to it so far. That is something, isn't it? Hopefully, yeah, that's good. I make no promises whether I'll stick to it or not, but hopefully I will. And the next thing you will hear from me, because the show notes are already written, is another Geek Life zine episode where I just talk about everything that I'm enjoying and complain a bit and go off on weird tangents. But it is very, very geeky and very UK-based. Which is nice, because you want to feel like you're getting something from a podcast, something local. Most of the podcasts I listen to are American, because America seems to produce the most podcasts, which is fine, but it would be nice to hear something local from the UK, which is what I try to do, in my own way, probably too much. And if you find it too much, let me know. Goodbye, everyone. You can find me, Roy Matuh, R-O-Y-M-A-T-U-H, R-O-Y-M-A-T-H-U-R. I almost forgot how to spell my own name for a moment, at roymatuh.com. Please, as always, I'm asking you to review, rate, support, and recommend the show to a friend or mortal enemy. I hope I said that in a sinister tone. The time at the end of the show is 01:35:46. Thanks for listening, and until I speak to you again, which shouldn't be long, bye-bye for now. Bye! Da 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 da.